Blog Talk Radio.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame. If I'm not happy, wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing,
but it only works if
you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow, I just love that song by Kirk Franklin, If You Want to Be Happy. Praise God. Well, we are so happy to be back. You're listening to Pastor David Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw, Ministry and Friends. And we have been on a long vacation, amen, but we're so happy to be back with you live here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. We just want to give a welcome to all those listening by way of Facebook, Blog Talk, Twitter, Skype, and Instagram, and even Periscope, whatever cyber listening that you're listening to. And if you're listening from the archive, maybe you didn't listen to us live, but you happen to listen later on, we welcome you as well. We're praying that this program, this Bible study, be something that be very, very so much of an inspiration to you. Amen. We're going to be studying the Bible. We're also going to be returning back. I know Pastor Shaw coming back with his Bible reading and his inspiration time with T.D. Jakes and so much more that the Lord is going to be giving to him to share with you. I first want to, of course, give honor to God, who is my Lord and Savior. Amen. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He's my beginning and my end. Also to my wonderful, loving, supporting husband, Pastor David Ambrose Shaw, my man. I love that guy. Amen. And our Bishop Joel David Trout, praise God, out of Atlanta, Georgia. And now he's also, as an apostle, has also started work out there in Los Angeles. Amen. So we're so happy to be about the work of the ministry. Amen. Give a holler out there to our friend out there in Athens, which is Loretta Cooney. Amen. Pastor Hargrove, and also all those that are out there, and many of our friends who are near and far. We just praise God for you. We just want to say a brief prayer before we go forth, amen, into our Bible study on today. It's going to be a 1-hour Bible study. We're going to hit it and keep it going, amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for you are a great God. You are the God of our heart. Father, you are God. When we are weak, you are strong. Amen. We thank you, O God, and when we can call on you day or night, you hear our prayers. Lord, we need you on this evening, O God, to speak through your word, inspire through your word, touch, heal, lift up through your word, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you made the heavens and the earth, and you have revealed your beauty through your creation for us to enjoy. And you've inspired us through your word. Lord, we want to thank you, O God, as we go through this Bible. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Father, that you open our ears to hear and our eyes to see and give us a heart to receive you. Lord, take us deeper, deeper, deeper into your word, Lord. We ask even more so that you return us back to our first love, Lord God, our passion for you. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. We worship you on this day. Father, we can't get enough of you. Father, we hunger after you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Where we are dry, Father, water us, oh God. Fill our cup on today, Father. We bless you. We praise you. We give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say amen, amen. Amen. Well, let's get started, amen. Once again, this is Lady Prophetess Diane Shaw, amen. Happily to be married to Pastor David Shaw. We are residing out here in Springfield, Illinois. Amen. We just thank God. We lift up our families that are near and far, our sons, Julian, Anton, and Marvell. Praise God. We continue seeing our prayers out for them in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go forth. I'm going to be coming to you. My scripture reading for today is John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Well, I just love the word. There's something about the word of God when you begin to read and study it. It brings, Jeremiah talked about like dry. When you're dry, the word of God is almost, it just comes and it brings you alive. Your dead bones come alive. That's what I feel like right now. Amen. So we're going with John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Amen. And I'm hearing my Bible here. And it actually reads, as I read out of the King James Version, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 states, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So
in plain English, God made it all. If it was made, it was made by God. Amen. He is the creator of all things. All things. Now, I know we have some pretty smart people out there, scientists, and a lot of people that are pretty unique in their creation. But even God created you and made you and gave you the ideas in your mind. You know, many of us don't give him the credit. It says here that God made all things. All things were made by him. Now, these verses, when properly understood, it actually confirms and it expands upon the conclusion reached that a correct understanding of these verses, it goes to the word. The word means, in this context, it's talking about the word logo, which is translated word. 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 It's translated as the word, as such as an account, give an account, a call, the communication, doctrine, teaching, preaching. You know, people say, hey, I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to hear the word. That means that they're saying, I'm going to go hear some preaching. Reasoning, saying, timing. So in the beginning, logos, the word, can strictly refer to the inner thought, which is expressed outwardly in words and other communication. In the beginning, God had this logo. So as we say, in the beginning was the word, the thought of God. The word was with God, and the word was God. That's very powerful. Think about that. In the beginning was nothing else. Before anything was the word. Okay. So we see as God, this singular purpose talks about Christ. We have shown how God's Spirit puts his inner thoughts into operation. God puts the thoughts. That's why I say many of us have awesome thoughts, ideas, creation. These are thoughts that God put inside of you. I look at some of the things he's blessed me to do, making prayer pillows. God put that into my mind. He put that thought into my mind, and it manifests itself into these beautiful, beautiful prayer pillows. So if you ever created something, know that it started with a thought from God, and God put that inside of you. Amen. So we're here talking about in the beginning. In the beginning was the word, the plan or message. As we talk about Christ was God in the beginning. Christ was with God in the beginning. Christ was with in the beginning, but was openly revealed in the person of Christ. Amen. We look here, if we go to Paul obeyed Christ's command to preach the gospel about him to all nations, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest unto all nations. You can find that in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. It talked about eternal life was only made possible for man through the work of Christ. We have obtained eternal life through Jesus Christ. But yet, it goes on to talk about, yet in the beginning, God had this plan to offer man eternal life. It was always in the plan of God to give us eternal life. Yes, God saw death when there was a separation between man and God. But then God also had a ram and a bush, and that's why he sent Jesus, his son. He knowing that as Jesus would become that sacrifice. The full revelation of that offer only came after the birth and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became our eternal life. God promised before the world began, he promised but has in due time manifested itself in the word of God through the preaching. And we have seen how God's prophets are spoken of as always existing. Let's go there. In Luke chapter 1, in Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. Let's go there. Open up your Bible, if you will. Luke chapter 1. And it's talking about God's book, God's prophet. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. And it reads, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet, which have been since the world began. God has spoken through his prophets. He spoke through his prophets to bring forth the revelation that there was one that was coming, and his name would become Emmanuel. So in the sense, the word, God sent his word through his prophet, which was spoken, and it existed with God from the beginning. So the parable of Jesus revealed many of these things. He thereby fulfilled the prophecy concerning himself. Remember in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 35? Let's go there. Jesus was talking about himself. Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. The only way we can have a true Bible study is we have to open up our Bible and see what the word said. I can sit and give you my understanding and my clarification and my conclusion, but I believe the Bible speaks for itself in plain form. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, and it reads, okay, let's go to first to 34. We always want to go one verse. Verse 34 says, and I'm in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable speak he not unto them. So every time Jesus spoke, he always spoke in parable. Why do you think that was? Why do you think that Jesus always spoke in parable? Think about that. When I mean parable, he always gave a story. He would say things such as, the kingdom of heaven is such as, or there was a farmer that sold his seed, or there was a woman at the well. Jesus always spoke in parables because he broke it down. That's why the gospel is always given in simplicity. He always broke it down to a level that they could understand. He never said anything over their head, but he gave a parable. So here we see in verse 35, when Jesus speaking to the multitudes, this parable, he says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Jesus giving now, he's telling to them what the prophet said. He says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So Jesus is letting them know that the prophet said that there was one that was going to come to you, and he was going to be speaking in parables, and he will speak things to you that were spoken before the foundation of the world. What's the foundation of the world? He will speak things that were spoken from the beginning. Now, this becomes very deep because we know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that Jesus had to be there at the same time because he's talking about in the beginning. That's the Word. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. How would Jesus know what the secrets are unless he was there? Okay, the prophet had said that there's one that's coming, is going to reveal to you the secrets. Amen. Now, the prophets are prophets of God. The prophets get their messages from God. So God has spoken to the minds of the prophets, and the prophets spoke these words. So the parables of Jesus revealed many of these things he thereby fulfilled the prophecies concerning himself. And as it goes on, he said, so he's really, 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 he's really saying, talking about himself. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Okay? It was in this sense that the Word was with God in the beginning, to be made flesh at Christ's birth. That gets deep. In the beginning was the Word. But God brought his Word into existence when he spoke the Word, and he spoke, and Jesus became the manifestation of God in the flesh. I hope you catch that. Now, remember that God's Word is so powerful. Remember in the beginning, if we even go back to Genesis, in the beginning, day one, day two, 6 days, and the seventh day he rests, everything God spoke came into existence. When God said, let there be light, there was light, and he would call this light day. Everything God spoken came into existence. We're talking about the power of the spoken word. The word was God. So we are now in a position to consider in what sense the word was God. God's plans and thoughts are fundamentally us. I am going, as he says, I am that I am. God's plan in Christ can be understood likewise. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Do you know you can think something? That's why they say when people are on their deathbed, they can think. They can either think themselves to live or think themselves to die. It's a power of will. When you have a will to just, when they give up, no more. Nothing moves. Same way is that God put that in us. It says, I am. The power of God that's working within us. God's plan in Christ. For man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That's in Proverbs 23:7. And as God thinks, so he is. God's word or thinking is God. The word was God and became flesh. Because of this, there is a very close association between God and his word. Okay, let's go there. Let me show you. Let me put this down in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 29. Psalms chapter 29. You go there, verse 8. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Psalms chapter 29. Okay. Psalms chapter 29, verse 8, and it reads. Let's go. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord divideth the flame of the fire. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Amen. And then, so we see here, the voice of the Lord, God's word when spoken, shakes up things. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness. Statement is also like in Jeremiah, he says, ye have not hearkened unto me, says the Lord. That's in Jeremiah 25:7. These are common in the prophets. God says, hearken unto me. Listen to me. This is good. What God is saying, he means you have not listened to my words spoken by my prophet. When God speaks, we are to listen. When God would send out his prophet to speak to the people, he said, I send my word. I send my prophet. I send my word. I send my man of God. I send my woman of God. Listen, hearken unto their words. Because it is not them that's speaking, but it is I. We see David took the word of God as his lamp and his light. He said, thy word, thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. This is in Psalms written by David, King David. Amen. So we're talking about God's word is personalized as himself. When he's talking about, when you look at God's word, you're looking at God. Uh-huh. When you look at the word of God, it's so powerful. This is not just a whole lot of letter. This is God's spoken word. This is who he is. This Bible, this word, this preaching, this teaching is a doctrine. It is God himself manifested himself through the word. I am. You cannot separate God and his word because they are one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. This word is God. So when we reject the word, we're actually rejecting God. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto my word. Hearken unto my prophet. Hearken unto those who speak truth according to my word. So God is truth itself. In John chapter 3, we go there. We talk about God saying, I am true. I am the truth. I am the truth. Amen. So John chapter 3, verse 33. It's so powerful as we study the word. We're actually engulfing upon God himself. These words, these books, you know, they tried to destroy the Bible back in ancient days. They tried burning it. But God always leaves a witness. You can't destroy what God has built. Amen. So John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, oh, and I'll read on. It says, first it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Amen. Please forgive me. Let me go on. Look, got a little ahead of myself. I'm on 3. Nicodemus, that's a great story, too. 3, chapter 33, and it goes on. I'm sorry, 32. Let's go to 31. 31 says, and he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of this earth is earthly, and speaketh the earth. He that cometh from heaven is from above. So he's saying that when you are a part of God, you speak from above. Your language, everything is from above. But when you're from the earth, you speak of the earth. And it says in verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testified, and no man receiveth his testimony. Verse 33. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. God is true by himself, and therefore God's word is true. Amen? God's word is true. You can see that in John 17:17. Everything about God is true. You heard, let God be true and every man a liar. That's why the devil is the father of lies. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber. Everything from the beginning, Satan has just been a liar. And he twists the truth. He takes the truth and he twists it and makes it out to be a lie. That's why it's got to be very important that we don't listen to the doctrines of the devil. So we see in John 17:17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word and truth. Sanctify them. Sanctify them. What it means to be sanctified, I mean set aside. Well, when we mean sanctified, it doesn't mean that we're like, how you say holier than thou. No, but that means he has separated you to be a part. God pulls you out and then puts you to. I pull you out of the world and I connect you to me. Sanctify them. Separate them. And then give them my word. It's very hard for us, ladies and gentlemen, saints of God, to be connected to the world but be connected to God, because God is a God of separation. He's a God of holiness. God, that's why he separates you when he pulls you out from the world. He said, I need you for my calling, for my ministry. when he was looking for Adam, he separated. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam had got out of his place of where God was used to meeting him. He said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Now, you know, God is all knowing. So God knew where he was. But in one of Adam's being a speak, a lot of times God say, I'm dying, where you at? God know where I'm at. He wants you to speak out of your own mouth. And Adam had to tell him where he was. And he said, I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? And God's sitting up here seeing everything. But it's amazing how God will allow you to confess on your own self in order to bring forth truth. So we're again talking about the power of God's word. How he said, sanctify them with thy word. The word of God will cleanse you, will separate you, will sanctify you. Amen. This is what God uses to cleanse us. David said, thy word, your word, God, is a lamp and light. Your word is my light. In this world, I will walk through the darkness, valley of shadow of death. But when I have your word will radiate and bring forth life. I can see. At first, I was walking in darkness, and I could not see. But when I see the word of God, it now penetrates through the darkness of my life, and it brings purpose. Amen. It says on and similar when Jesus identified himself with his word so closely as he personified, Jesus said, he that rejected me. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said this in John chapter 12:48. If you reject me and receive me not in my words, has one that judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus is saying, if you don't receive me in the words that I'm speaking, you reject me. If you reject me and you reject my words, then the same words that I'm speaking is going to judge you in the end. God sends his word to bring life or to bring judgment. And if we reject God's word now, the same word that rejecting us is going, same word is going to bring us judgment. That's powerful. Amen. Jesus speaks of the word as an actual, as though it's himself. His words were, because they were so closely associated, he said, I am. When you see me, you see God. Like, whoa, hold up, wait a minute. Now the Jews at this time was like, said, hold up. You act like you older someone. We saw Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham. And then Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Like, woo, they flew back like, hold up. Blasphemy. How could you say, we know your mother, your father, your carpenter. You only 30. How dare you? Blasphemy. Then he wanted to kill him. Oh, these are the teachers of the law. And here Jesus was speaking so profoundly, saying, I am. But we know that the only one who was saying, I am, was God himself. So could this be Jesus? This Jesus, could this be the God of the Old Testament that the children of Israel followed when they left Egypt? And Moses was speaking to him? Could this be God in the flesh, Emmanuel? Could this be the same God who entered into Mary as a spirit and brought forth a child, Emmanuel? And isn't it amazing that the word Emmanuel means God with us? Does this mean the Virgin Mary, who never been touched by a man, gave forth the birth of a child? Could this be the prophecy being fulfilled that it said that a virgin will give forth a baby? Wow. Could this really be the God of all creation that has walked among mankind, clothed himself, wrapped himself in flesh, to put on his work clothes, to come down from a kingdom, who never had a home, never owned anything, and came among sinners. Could this be him? God's word being his creative power. He used it in the begettal of Jesus in Mary's womb. The word, God's plan. See, God does everything with a plan. His thought. It's all about his thought. He's thinking. And he's speaking. The word, God's plan put into operation by his Holy Spirit. My Lord, let's go there. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. God has a plan. That gives me such hope. Because that tells me that God knows my end, my beginning, and he has already wrote my book. And I don't have to figure it out, and you don't have to figure it out, because he has already got it figured out. Luke chapter 1. Verse 35. Look at this. Look at this. Psalm 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Angel's telling her. The angel come forth. And as he said in verse 30, the angel said, Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That's in the Bible. Verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of the father, his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, but kingdom there shall be no end. His kingdom will be no end. And then we see Mary say, how could this be? I've never been with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, come on somebody, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Mary, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, my Lord. The Son of God. So we have seen that God's word, spirit, reflects his purpose, which had been stated throughout the Old Testament. The degree in which this is true is in Acts 13:27, where Jesus was spoken of as parable to the words of the Old Testament. And see, the Jews, they didn't know him, knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets. Here it is. The Jews have been waiting for their Messiah to come. And the prophets from old have been prophesying about this man, this Jesus. When Christ was born, all of God's word spirit was expressed in this one person of Jesus. Amen. Everything. See, they didn't understand. They had the word, but they could not understand how here was this. They thought he was coming as this king with this big crown on his head. But Jesus came opposite of that. He laid down his royalty, and he was born in a manger where there were sheep and cattle and stinky animals. They didn't even have room for him, his mother, Mary, at the hotel. And this is what's so powerful. That's why we see that you can't go too low for the Lord. He don't come to those that have money and things and power and prosperity. He comes to the lowly at heart. He comes to those He came to seek and save those who are lost. That's why Jesus will always say, unless you come to me as a child, we got to lay down all of our, you know, all this knowledge that we think we know, and we got to come to him as a child. How does a child come? How does your child come to you? They come with questions. They don't come as though they know it all. They come with questions. Teach me. How does this work? What is this? And they come humble, ready to lean, ready to follow, ready to be teachable. Amen. So we have to ask ourselves, do I really know Christ? Just accepting him, as someone said, as my Savior? Do I really know him as my Lord? Amen. Do I know him in his suffering? The old saying, everybody want to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. To know him is to know him through your suffering. Because when we know him through our suffering, we begin to know and understand him. Because he can identify with everything you've ever been through. Rejection, betrayal, everything that you're enduring, he has also endured. He can relate. Amen. Maybe some of you have fallen down and you find it hard to get up. It's something about the name of Jesus. When we call on that name, he'll call, he'll come in the midst of whatever you're going through. I want you to take this time as we break, and I want you to listen to the words of Donnie McCulkin. And this is speaking to your heart. We fall down, but we get back up again. I will return.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. Oh, yes. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now.
We fall down,
oh,
but we get up.
Get back
we
up.
Fall down.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We get up,
back up.
We fall down.
Oh, my, my, my. We get back up again.
For a thing
is
just
a
sinner.
Oh, yes, we are. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of us. Oh,
we fall
down. Stay down.
But
we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes, but we get back up again. Yes, we do that. Rise back up again.
For a
Savior,
sinner.
Oh, 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 oh. No matter what you're doing. You can get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
No matter how far you fall,
get back up again.
You can get back up again.
Get back up again.
You're waiting on me.
Get back up again.
Get back up again. Oh. What you can get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
He's waiting on.
Get back up again.
Arms open wide.
Get back up again.
Run to his arms.
Get back up again.
Run to his arms.
Oh.
That was, oh, right, I'm back. Okay, praise God. Thank you so much out there, Pastor Shaw, helping me out. Yes, we was on mute, but that was Donnie McClurkin, and We Fall Down, But We Get Back Up Again. And as I was saying, I don't know too many believers that has actually experienced not falling down. That there shows that you are a child of God. When you can fall down, but you get back up again. Amen. That's what we do. Praise God. That's the relationship we have, that he says, you fall down, but don't stay down. Get back up again. So we have been talking about John. In the book of John, where we talked about in the beginning, amen, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. We've been talking about this, and what we see here is that you are made in the image of God. You and I, his story is your story. God has wrote our story. As we come to an end, I want to put this thought in your mind. You are united to his word. Amen. You and I are the creation of God. You and I do not know the end of our book. We don't even know the day of our departure. We have a birthday, and we also have a death day. And no one knows that but God. He knew you and I from the beginning. In his beginning was the Word. Your beginning is the same. There was a Word. And that Word started your story. His words to you started your story. But it gets better in your beginning. In your beginning. That's right. In your beginning, there is always a Word. Every day is a beginning for you. It doesn't matter what your yesterday was. It doesn't matter what happened 10 years ago. It doesn't matter what happened 5 years ago. It don't even matter what happened yesterday. Today is the day of salvation. And if you want to get back up again, you can receive this word. The word of God said he's called you. He's called you before the foundation of the world. And he says that he has a plan. The thoughts that he has for you are good. You can start out your day as today with this in mind, that he loves you, that he has called you. He hasn't changed his mind about you. The same calling that he gave to you, he still has that calling for you. This is because he's a God of truth, and in him there is no lie. You might change, but God will never change. And just like that prodigal son that left, and when he came back, his father was there waiting for him, killed a prophetic calf, and he was there to bless him. So is our Father here to bless you. You're listening to Pastor David Shaw and Diane Shaw, Ministry and Friends, and we thank you for taking part of this time. I hope this word has found you and has encouraged you and inspired you to know that God's word is true. When you open up your word on this day and even on tomorrow as you rise, know that you are embarking on God himself in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God keep you. And until next time, know that he will continue to break every chain in your life. God bless you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.